All right, you open us up here, buddy.
Okay, starting now. 1, 2, 3, go. Episode 14. Take one. Take the only take.
Yeah, so, hopefully.
Oh, okay, absolutely. We're gonna freight train this one.
Okay, I'm ready.
And welcome to episode 14 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. I am Alan Attridge, calling in from Tübingen, Germany. And on the line with me I have...
Adam Schwartz from Vancouver, British Columbia.
How is the weather there, Adam?
Rainy. Windy and rainy.
Also rainy here. It's been awesome until about 12 minutes ago.
That's too bad then.
The end. All right. You can find us. Thanks for listening. So what'd you shoot this week?
Not a whole lot. I took a few pictures today. So we got Sarah a new bike. So her first real bike. So moving up from a tricycle to a full-fledged two-wheeler with training wheels. We got that yesterday, but it was rainy, so we only got to spend a few minutes on it. So took some pictures of her riding the new bike today. So that would have been... the first real photo session of the week. I took a few pictures for the photo challenge, but that was it. Really not many pictures this weekend. I had a course. I took a physiotherapy course on Saturday, so that cut into my prime picture-taking time.
Gotcha. Yeah. Life gets in the way, man.
Yeah. So
a new bike. I got to tell you, I'm excited. I can't wait to see some of those pictures.
Yeah, I'm going to keep trying because... I don't know how well I did because I was trying to... I had both kids going at one point, Jack on a tricycle, which he can't quite pedal yet. So I'm trying to push him and then, you know, chase Sarah down with the camera at the same time. So I think might have had a couple of keepers. I got a few of Jack, but he's easier because he's not moving around as much, especially when I'm not pushing the tricycle.
Gotcha. Now, did Sarah know she was getting a bike?
Yes, she did know she was getting a bike, so we went and picked it out. Although the funny thing is, with a three-year-old, so this is a heads-up for your future life as a dad, we take her in, and she's so excited. We go to Walmart to get a bike that we've seen. And the reason we go to Walmart is because we've seen with her age and her size, she's kind of in between the typical bike sizes. They sort of go by height, and she's kind of an in-between. So most of the bikes are 12-inch tires or 16-inch. 12-inch is too small, but she's too young, and she won't have the balance and the control for the 16-inch. So in the U.S., it's almost impossible to find a 14-inch bike. They don't really exist. But at Walmart, they have this 14-inch bike that's in the color she wants. So we go and get it, and of course, she pulls the old... rides it around the store for 2 seconds. Oh, I don't want a bike anymore. I want to go pick out whatever, some sort of princess toy. So we've gone there for specifically for a bike, told her we're only getting a bike, and now she decides she doesn't want a bike. So the psychology of it is, okay, we'll just get this pink bike for Jack, and when we get it home, if you don't want it, Jack gets it, right? So we're trying to, again, come down to her level and just... you know, give it to her brother, because if you offer to give him anything of hers, chances are she's going to change her mind pretty quick. So pretty much what happened, and we got it home, and immediately she wants to jump on it, and Jack gets on his tricycle, and away we go.
So are you a dad or a Machiavelli?
I think both.
Yeah. You have to trick your kids into wanting a bike?
Yeah. But
you're a horrible parent.
She loves it now. Yeah.
Good times.
So, yeah, the answer to your question was I didn't take many pictures.
Yes, I guess. Well, I was looking forward to seeing the picture of her face when she got her bike.
Okay, yeah. I got something along those lines.
Get her to fake it later on. Reenact. Do a reenactment.
Yeah, I think I will. But now I'm
busted. In fact, at this point, this is going to be the photo challenge I issue later, is to reenact some event from the previous week.
I like it.
I was just joking, but I'm doing it now. But that's what we're doing. going to use exposure compensation within the thing.
All right. Well, I'm anxious to find out what that is because I know little of the topics this week. But before we get to that, why don't you tell us about what you shot this week? Because it sounds like you might have had some pictures this week.
I did. I shot so much, I forget what I shot. I shot some pregnancy pictures, maternity, pictures of the pregnant belly. That's what I did. So for some friends of ours, because everybody decided to get pregnant at once over here.
Is that a big thing in Germany, or I guess in your parts of the world, the whole pregnancy pictures? Do people have them in their house on display?
I don't think anyone puts them on display. I haven't seen anybody put them on display in terms of pregnancy ones. The newborns that I've done, yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But no, people just want them for their own album or whatever it is that they want. So yeah, we shot some of those, and then I shot some more. Did I shoot more business portraits? I've shot a bunch of other things. I can't remember. Nothing more interesting than the pregnancy stuff. So,
okay,
that was this week. And then of course the challenge photo,
right?
Which we're looking at now. Who you issued this challenge, right?
Yeah, the challenge was to take a picture where the idea was to convey the emotion of love.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't really put any, I don't think I put any strict parameters on it other than just try to get that feeling across.
Gotcha.
So do you want to go through yours first?
Yes. I did take a bunch of them.
But yeah, I saw that there was three.
I picked one. The one that just says challenge. Challenge 7.
Okay, I'm going to look at that right now. So that's the one with the, I'm assuming that's the father.
Yep.
And the other he's two kissing, I included, kissing the head, right?
He's kissing the head.
Yeah.
And little Rebecca, not showing love, really.
No.
No.
Not thrilled.
No, she actually was all right, thrilled. But yeah, what do you want to know about this?
Yeah, just maybe walk us through the lighting and the parameters that you used.
This is all existing lighting. This is all it's the sunshine sort of coming through the trees. And so we had a barbecue the other night, Saturday night maybe. Doesn't matter as far as you know.
Yeah.
And so I knew Rebecca and her folks were coming. She's 3 months-ish. Give or take a few hours. I'm not sure the exact. I'm not writing her biography yet. So anyway, I knew she was coming, and so I waited until the sun was going down at the right time, and I knew we would get a nice kind of soft light on her. And that's Dad kissing her on the head.
I think it gets the message across.
Yeah. Picture's worth 1,000 words, so there it is.
I like the pink shirt on the on the green kind of background. I think it stands out.
That was one of the things. That's why I included a couple of other pictures too, because I was really thrilled with the colors here.
Yeah.
I don't think that this, and we're going to see Adam's in a second. I don't think mine, the first thing you see when you see this, my picture, you don't think love. I think you understand it in the category of our photo challenge, it definitely fits, but it's not the first thing that pops out. So in that case, I'm a loser. However, I like the picture. I like the light in her eyes. I like the light on her face, and I really, really, really liked the way the colors popped.
Yeah, the blue shirt.
Blue shirt.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that was really why I was happy to submit these rather than go shoot something else, because it was a testament to when we shot. I waited until the sun was kind of in the just heading for the horizon. And so that's the kind of result you end up getting.
And you were utilizing the principles from last episode when you talked about searching for light, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Which I think we cut.
Probably. But this was an example of searching for light.
Had I left that in the last episode, yes. When you look for the right light and frame them such, you end up getting nice light, like nice light in the eyes where her eyes really stick out. And lastly, I with the depth of field, I shot this wide open to separate her from the background, and the little flowers, a little blown out white pieces are little daisies in the lawn.
So this is the 1.4 lens?
That's the 1.4. Yeah.
At 1.4?
This one, I believe, is at 2.
Okay.
Because I still wanted to get some of his head, like his, make sure I got his part of his face in focus, at least.
All right.
And so you can see sort of where he's kissing her, he's in focus, and then his hair goes out. But yeah, so there's that. And then lastly, I chose a square crop just on purpose. That's it.
All right. The end.
The end.
Okay.
And love. And so then, Adam, I'm looking at Adam's black and white. Unless you want to talk about me for a bit more.
No, no. I've had enough of talking about you. Let's talk about my picture.
Awesome. So Adam's picture, the black and white one?
Sure. Yeah. I thought whichever one you'd prefer to talk about. The other one that I took is along the similar lines of your picture with mother, daughter, son, mm-hmm. sort of love. But I just, for the sake of photography commentary, I think the black and white one's probably better.
So the black and white one, I it's a picture of your wife shaking hands with Bigfoot.
That's exactly what I thought. So this is to convey love between a monkey and a woman. you're going to have to go onto the Two Hosers site to see this picture. Just purely for entertainment. I think everybody deserves to see this picture.
Oh, I feel like you could have shaved a heart into your arm hair. That would have.
I thought about it, but no, that would just be weird for me at work.
You know what I would do if I was you? I mean, I actually, you know, I laugh, but I'm not exactly a hairless guy myself. I would shave a wristwatch outline into my hair and never wear a wristwatch. And whenever anyone ever asks me what time it is, I'd make a big scene where I mime it out and look and go, oh, I forgot my watch.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that. I took that picture and I looked at it. I'm like, yeah, I kind of like the light of that picture. And I thought, first thing is that I'm gonna not send this to Al too early, because then he's going to have too much time to come up with some lines where he makes fun of, you know, the hair on my arm and on my wrist. And so that's why I sent it to you this morning, last night. I took that picture last night and I was going to go with it, but I'm like, yeah, I can't give him too much time.
So. Yeah, don't give him too much rope. That's a problem. Yeah.
So,
oh,
that's why I sent touch. It though. I thought you'd run with that. And yeah, you did. So I don't know if we should even talk about the anything beyond that. I think people should just go and look at it. But one thing I will say is that I took that picture sort of on our dining room table, and I tried to get mm-hmm. again, because some of the previous pictures I've taken, background's been more distracting. So I tried to make the background less distracting. Went with a sort of plain background that is the dining room table. And then one of the things that I tried to use my GorillaPod, because, oh, funny, I used the GorillaPod with the gorilla arm. But
that's their ad campaign.
even gorillas can use these. But I used it, hook it to a standing light. And that way mm-hmm. I could kind of get a nice angle like that, because obviously I couldn't hold the camera. So I hooked it, I sort of swirled it around the light and then bounced a flash off the ceiling to get sort of almost no shadow at all, other than underneath kind of our wrist. You can see where the shadow falls is kind of beneath our wrist, so it kind of blends into the table. So I was just really trying to create, again, the contrast between our arms and the table. So. Yep. That was my attempt anyway. So
it looks really good.
Yeah. So
you're skipping ahead with the flash stuff, which I promise people we will get into. Bounce flash. What flash did you use?
That is the Canon. It's the middle of the line one, 330EX, I believe.
Okay, I believe it's the 430.
Oh, 430EX. There isn't a 330.
No, that's something you invented.
So, yeah, it's that one.
It's the monkey flash.
Yeah, the one you can pivot but doesn't have as much power as the 530, is it?
580.
Oh, 580. I think it's 580. 580. Yeah.
Just for those keeping track at home, I just did a callback to the gorilla joke that was horribly unfunny. I hate that when I make the effort to do a complete callback and it's just like a lead balloon. Oh, Alan.
Yeah, better luck next time.
Yeah, thanks for trying. No, this looks great, and you can the shadow looks good. The lighting all around, the black and white. Mission accomplished.
Awesome.
So your alternate is also good. In fact, I'm torn. I'm torn by it. I think you made the right decision, actually. But you really caught a great moment between mother and daughter.
And I would have preferred this with a more pleasing background, of course, which is why I didn't include it. It's a pretty plain, here's our living room. You've got pillows in the background. But again, I like the picture. I think it conveys the message. It's just, I wish I could, and I can if I want, but I wish I could just plug in a different background there.
You're going to want to do that. Yeah, I was going to suggest that that's why I would pick the other one, is this one. The heating element of your living room is nice. That was a good era, those sort of early 80s.
Yeah.
They really went architecturally. They really hit their stride.
Yeah. And that's probably it. It probably is early 80s.
Yeah. Oh, Honeywell.
Yeah.
Anyways, I think we can kiss our Honeywell sponsorship goodbye.
Yeah. Well, they made me a fan that broke after about a month, so they can go screw themselves.
That's excellent.
Oh, and P.S., yeah. Their customer service on their website also blows.
Okay. That's going to give me the decision. Do I edit that out later or leave it in?
I think leave it in.
Done.
The Honeywell people are coming after us.
That's what they do. Okay, well, that's the photo challenge. You know.
Let's move it. Let's move it along.
Let's get along. Let's get this freight train continuing to freight train.
What's the topic today?
ECK.
Okay, that stands for?
Exposure. No one actually says ECK.
Yeah.
I'm just, don't say it. Don't make it like an ISO or an ISO. No one said, well, maybe someone does say ECK, and if you do, I apologize. I don't even call it EC. We just call it exposure compensation and metering. That's what this week is about.
What about echo?
Echo?
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll work on that. By next week, Adam will have a good acronym.
Yeah.
For exposure compensation.
Before you go on, let me just say something. When I was in high school, I was the nickname king. I was the master of getting nicknames to stick. Not because the nicknames I came up with were particularly brilliant, because I was the guy that would just say it and say it and say it until people just, that's the way nicknames work. If you commit to it, if you say it enough times, everybody says it. I nicknamed this girl for no particular reason, Jerky, just cause. Nicknamed her Jerky. Everybody called her Jerky for her entire high school. I did that.
And... Oh no! Is she still known as Jerky?
I would guess so. Again, this is in Ontario, but up until university, she was still Jerky.
Was that during the Jerky Boys?
No. Phase? Oh yeah, maybe. But I don't think that's why. Yeah, I like the Jerky Boys, but I don't think that's why. I don't know. I just one day just thought I'm gonna just see if I can make a nickname stick. I'm that good at nicknames.
That's a great experiment. I'm gonna start doing that with just people in our group over here in Germany and see how your method applies with the Germans.
You got to commit to it.
Yeah, that's the Schwartz method. I'm just going to give them terrible nicknames that make no sense at all.
The less sense they make, the better.
Awesome. Any tips on nicknames tend to end with an E, you know, Jerky, hey Jonesy, you know?
No, it doesn't need to. Case in point, Scoop.
Scoop. Where'd that come from?
That was a physio school nickname that, for no particular reason other than we were doing a child development seminar class, and a kid was writing. They were looking at kids of different ages and how they write, and one kid was employing the scoop grip. And I turned to Dave, and I said, "Your scoop." And he said, "What?" I said, "Your scoop." I just kept with it, and sure enough, all of physio scoop.
See, I didn't even know he was a physio when I met him. I thought maybe I assumed he worked for the Vancouver Sun, and just a good reporter.
Yeah.
always getting the scoop.
Nope. Not that at all.
Cleaned up after dogs?
Yeah.
That would have been one way to go. Really bad at volleyball?
Yeah.
Yeah. How long do you want to go with this? I got like 12 more minutes on why scoop is funny.
I think we're good.
And cut there. So, okay. Metering.
Yeah.
Did you see that segue I just did?
I love it.
Scoop metering. You're part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about what is metering, first of all.
I don't know, but I'm going to make an ignorant guess and say that it has something to do with how the camera reads how much light is in the area.
Pretty much.
Is it?
That's, yeah. I mean, we're gonna word it up a little bit better than that.
Okay.
But so far, we've learned about aperture and shutter speed and ISO, the three corners of the exposure triangle. And then, so what we've been doing generally, my advice has been to shoot on AV mode. So what we're doing is we're taking those three variables. We're establishing ISO. We're setting it. ISO 400, for example. Bam! And I recommend you do that, by the way. Next time you're shooting in amongst people in a crowded area, set your ISO and just yell, 400, bam! And watch everyone stare at you. So we establish our ISO. We that's no longer a variable. We establish our aperture. That's no longer a variable. But there's one variable left, and that's the shutter speed. And we let the camera decide that.
Right.
But how does the camera decide that? How does the camera know how long the shutter should be open? Well, it has a built-in light meter. And it basically takes a reading of what you're looking at through the lens and says, okay, at this aperture, at this ISO, I need to leave the camera open for X amount of seconds.
Right.
Now, if we go the other way and set our shutter speed, it will say, well, the aperture has to be open this amount in order to get the correct light. So what it's doing is it's looking through the lens and determining, having a best guess at what it sees on how to make a proper exposure.
I'm with you.
So that's what metering is in general.
And so just a quick question. So, okay, so I understand what that is, but I'm guessing, you know, because we're talking about it, it's not a constant, meaning it's a variable that itself can also be manipulated?
Metering?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes and no. I'm not sure what you're asking, but
I mean, there's got to be different versions of metering on your camera light or different modes of metering. Otherwise, we wouldn't be talking about it. I don't know what they are. But right. I'm guessing that's where you're going.
I am going there. Yes, your camera is very smart. Really, really, really smart. And so it does, I'm going to go ahead and guess. I don't know everybody's camera, but most cameras have roughly four different kinds of metering, which are essentially two kinds of metering and then a couple of in-betweens. What it does, what the one you're probably using, and I recommend that you continue using, is one called evaluative, if you have a Canon. And I think the Nikon calls it matrix metering. It's all very fancy sounding stuff, because it's pretty fancy technology. And I'm not going to explain it all, because I'm not even 100% sure how it all works.
And it doesn't really matter, does it?
No, the matrix is that impressive. Essentially, the broad strokes are with the matrix metering or the evaluative or whatever, the one that you're using, is it takes a look at your entire scene and sort of evaluates how much light and dark there is and figures out a best exposure.
Okay.
And it says, okay, overall in this whole scene, we've got, you know, some bright light up here, but we'll ignore that. And I'm guessing that Adam's trying to focus on his own gorilla hands. And so far, so we will establish that as the baseline for the exposure. On the other hand, is sometimes when you're out in some bright light situations and you're shooting something, you know, your subject is very, very dark, oftentimes the camera will meter based on the say the bright light, or you get stuff that's blown out, or what you want is not properly exposed.
Right.
I feel like I could have been clearer on that part.
Yeah,
I even wrote that down.
And I zoned out a little bit, so I've just been saying yeah.
Yeah, Are we done? The other kind of metering, that leads me to the other kind of metering.
Okay.
Is there is basically, again, the names, they give it everything different names, but it's like essentially like a spot metering.
Yeah.
So rather than have the meter look at the entire scene, it looks at the middle 2%, and that's where it takes a light reading. It ignores the rest. So it assumes that you're pointing your camera at what you want to be properly exposed, and therefore it tells you what the shutter speed would be based on that. And the other two modes that my camera has, and your camera probably has as well, are sort of in between there, where the spot is larger. So instead of being a 2% of the frame, it's 8% or something like that. And then there's a mode where it's 8%, but it also, it's called center weighted. So it takes its reading there, but it also sort of factors in stuff part of the image in the rest of the picture.
Right.
And it kind of makes a best guess. But it still gives more preference to what's in the center. When you're metering. So generally, I don't use the spot metering very often, just because I've gotten used to using the evaluative, and I know what that looks like. I know what my camera is thinking.
Right.
You're having a look at the screen, and it's not taking the picture that you want. What do you do?
Personally, I usually just change it from AV mode to manual mode, and then, you know, make a manual adjustment on the shutter speed. Usually that's what I do. So either I change the aperture, or change the shutter speed, and just, you know, make mild adjustments up or down to get it to the way I want. But I'm guessing there's another way.
There is another way. I really actually recommend your way as well. I do that from time to time myself. When I have time to contemplate what's going on, and it's not like an instant decision, I do shoot manual, so I can dial that in myself. But that's a great tip to shoot it in AV. Yeah. Get a quick baseline, because on the back of your screen you can see the settings it chose. It'll tell you. You then go apply those settings in manual and adjust from there. That's fantastic advice. We're going to change this episode to episode 14. Adam accidentally gives awesome advice.
All right.
Okay. The end.
But tell me where you're going with the alternative, because I'm guessing that's where the exposure compensation comes in.
The exposure compensation is a really, really handy tool. So much so that I recommend using it all the time. You should always be aware of what's going on with the exposure compensation. Exposure compensation means exactly what it sounds like. Is whatever mode you're on, whichever metering mode, your camera takes what it assumes to be the best exposure. You then dial in a compensation for that. And so let's say you're in a situation where your camera is overexposing a little bit. You then tell that camera, okay, expose normally, but then underexpose by 2/3 of a stop, just to correct for what I want.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. You know what a stop means if I say underexposed by a stop?
Yeah, it has to do with each stop is half as much or twice as much light. So if you're going up, it's more light, or backwards, it's half as much light.
That's the terminology you end up using once you get into how much light you're using. Like if you're lighting a scene, you'll say, well, let's bring that one up half a stop or a full stop or stuff like that. That's what we are referring to. And that's how your exposure compensation works. You've probably seen the little button, the plus minus button. I think it's called, what is it called just the plus minus thing.
Yeah.
On your camera.
I don't know.
Sorry for
called.
The over technology talk here. The tech talk. The little plus minus doohickey. But what that does is it goes between plus 2 and minus 2 in increments of 1/3. So you can go plus 1/3, plus 2/3, plus 1, all the way up to 2, or the other way. I generally don't go plus very often. I find I'm usually underexposing. So, do you ever use it already yet?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I don't use it at
You're
all.
You're gonna?
Yeah, I'm gonna try it now.
Really?
Yep.
Okay. Oftentimes, it's actually one of those things that I end up, people ask me, hey, listen, all my pictures are coming out dark. And that's the first thing I tell them to look for is somebody may have bumped your exposure compensation and it'll be set to minus 2 by accident, which means it's going to take its reading and then underexpose it by 2 stops. So everything's just coming out dark and there's nothing you can do. So that's something to look for if your images are kind of all over the map right now and you don't know why. Have a look at that. Generally, when I'm out shooting, like on a sunny day, my benchmark is minus 2/3. I set my exposure compensation to minus 2/3 and I fire away. Because you can end up losing a lot of color saturation if it's exposed right at 0.
Right.
And you'll find out on sunny days, you'll end up getting enough shadow detail, but you'll also keep a lot of your colors. So I took some pictures this week, actually. I took a series of 3. I've posted it on my blog before, but I took 3 brand new ones just to illustrate what the difference is with exposure compensation.
I'll check that out.
So how do you adjust it? It's a little bit tricky on your camera, I think.
I don't know because I haven't tried to.
Okay. I think there's a button on the back of your camera that if you hold down, you can then use the finger dial.
Yeah.
And go up or down minus 2/3 or whatever. But I recommend that's my takeaway is go shoot on minus 2/3.
I'll try it.
Any questions? Did I explain that properly?
I think so. I think once you get an idea for what is overexposure and underexposure, which probably I'm guessing most of the people listening to this have a pretty good idea. You just kind of got to go out and you know, fiddle around with it.
Which is the beauty of the digital, is to just, wow, can you fail?
And what about a photo challenge for this week?
Photo challenge this week. What did we talk about earlier in the show? I forget now. I wasn't paying attention. Oh, reenactment. We're going to reenact something. It should use exposure compensation in the image somehow. Okay? That's pretty loose. So I'm fine. Yeah. I really don't care how you use it. Even if it's minus 1/3 or something like that, that's fine. Use exposure compensation. I promise I will as well.
Okay.
You need to reenact an event from the last month of your life. Doesn't have to be the last week, because
it has to be obviously significant.
Doesn't matter. I don't even have to know about it. It could be anything. I'm already, my mind is already racing about the possibilities. Okay. About what, I didn't even do anything. Well, I did lots of stuff, I guess. But what can I reenact?
Reenact your haircut.
Oh, I'm going to reenact my haircut. Did you just say that? I wasn't listening. I was too busy focusing on reenacting my haircut. Yes. I don't want to brainstorm.
I got a this couple ideas.
I'm just thinking here. Do we want to even have more fun with this and reenact? We flip it. I give you something I did. You tell me something you did, and we have to reenact the other person's.
Okay, I might have to email you an idea because I'm gonna have to think of something. How about you teaching Lena how to ride a bike?
My 7-month pregnant wife riding a bike, which she does, by the way. Yeah. It's pretty funny to see her riding her bike around. Depends. Are we gonna flip it around or not? Make a snap decision.
Sure, but I don't have an idea yet, so I'll email you one.
Done.
We can talk about it on the next show.
We're going to reenact someone's what have you. Okay, that's it. Well, that's episode 14, Exposure Compensation and Metering. The end.
We're going to call it the amazing episode.
Way to kill it. It was a freight train to the very end.
And then the wheels fell off.
I'm going to be just in.
What about where might we find some of your stuff? How about that?
In case you're still listening. Yeah, in case you're still listening to this. It's not that we've been huffing paint. Skype is a tremendous delay right now.
Yeah, it's slowed down.
Yeah, cuz I'm throwing out some excellent bon mots and Adam's laughing like 2 minutes later. So Skype, you're not on our Honeywell list yet, but step up your game if you want me to keep using your free services, okay? Thank you.
Yeah.
Dear Skype, that's going to be your reenactment, me ranting against Skype. I just gave you too big of a hint at what I'm going to do. I'm not shaving my head, but Lena might. So, just saying. She's going to play you in the movie.
All right.
Okay, that's enough of that. You can find me at alanattridge.com, alanattridge.de. You can find us at twohosers.com. You can find us at twohosers on the Twitter. Where can we find you, Adam?
You can find my pictures on my wife's blog, schwartzchronicles.com. And just as a heads up, I did write a guest blog this past week. So I think it's the latest blog post, which was really about the things that I've learned as a dad in my first few years of being a dad. So I tried to add some insight and also some advice for some of the new dads coming into the world. I thought that these were words of wisdom. So if anybody is a new dad or knows of a new dad, I definitely encourage you to go on schwartzchronicles.com and check it out. At least worth a chuckle, if not real advice.
That's it. So check that out, schwartzchronicles.com. And until next week, go wake up your wife and get her to see the end line.
She's fully asleep. I don't know if you can see her in the background.
No, don't. Don't. Yeah, that's why I said it. Don't really do that.
Okay.
You listeners at home, don't be confused. You can't see her in the background. No. That's enough of that. Until next week, people should go out there and make better photos.